Welcome to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter, and I am glad you are with us today. We've got a great show because I've got a great friend and a brother in Christ in the studio with me today, Irv Philpott. Irv, welcome to the show.
Sam, I'm so glad to be here.
Thanks for coming in. And we're going to talk about what I have been talking about for the last several weeks, this Body, Mind, and Spirit series, where I keep saying you cannot separate your body and your mind and your spirit. And I've got Irv in so that we can really get down to how it looks in our day-to-day lives. We'll get that discussion in just a second. 721 Live is the radio arm of 721 Ministries. Our website is www.721ministries.org. That's the number, 721ministries.org. Check out the website. We've got a lot of different things on it. We've got a Putting Green blog where we write up little short articles and devotions about what we talk about on the radio show. We've got video. So go to our website, 721ministries.org, 721ministries.org. Okay, I have been talking with you for the last several weeks, this whole idea of body, mind, and spirit, and how we cannot separate our bodies from our minds, from our spiritual lives. If you think that you can really just concentrate on your spiritual life and not really pay a lot of attention, not be purposeful and intentional with your body and with your mind, then you're mistaken. And you will not find the A-plus life that Jesus wants for us if you're not being purposeful and intentional about your bodies and your minds. And Irv, who is a brother in Christ with me and a dear friend and an accountability partner, is a great example of how we focus on these things, how we walk in a balance in our lives, in a rhythm that Jesus wants for us to get that A-plus life. Because when Jesus talks about maximizing our talents in the parable of the talents, or in the parable of the four soils, where he says the fourth soil reproduced a crop 30, 60, even 100 times as much, he's talking about the A-plus life. He's talking about the life that he wants for us. And Irv and I, we get together once a week. We spend more time than just once a week, but we get together once a week sort of as an accountability time, because we are looking to encourage and challenge each other to seek God's best in our lives. And really, probably a better way to say that is to challenge and encourage each other to seek and to be God's best and find that in our lives. Would you agree with that, Irv?
Oh, absolutely. I think, you know, every time we meet, you know, those first three questions: how are you doing physically, how are you doing mentally, and how are you doing spiritually?
How are you doing physically? Body.
That's right.
How are you doing mentally? Mind. How are you doing spiritually? Your spirit.
That's
and,
right.
And why do you ask those questions? Why do you and I bounce those back and forth?
Well, because again, as you just mentioned, they're so interwoven, and if you're not paying attention to one of those, you know, it's going to falter. And again, that's why we start with the idea of refreshing your body daily.
And see, if you're listening today, you might be thinking, okay, I need something a little more spiritual. I need a little more theology here. I need for you to give me some Bible passages, which we will. But I think Jesus would actually just, I think he is smiling when we talk about this, because as we have seen, you cannot find this in our culture. And I'm not so sure you find it in a whole lot of churches where someone is saying, you cannot ignore your body and you cannot ignore your mind and think just because you're pursuing Christ and sincerely pursuing him that you're where you need to be. Because I think Jesus would step back and go, no, I need for you to be watching your body, your fitness, your rest, what you eat.
That's right. You know, in the story that we talk about, you know, we can dive straight into the scripture, is there when Peter, James, and John are with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, and you know they're there, and Jesus says, their Lord says, can you just watch with me for an hour? Can you pray with me just for 1 hour? And these disciples who loved him and wanted to do that, they weren't prepared physically. They were tired. They were worn out, and they couldn't answer that call. And so that's the question that, of course, you and I are beating on each other weekly about, is, are we ready to answer that call when the Lord calls upon us? Have we rested? Have we taken that time to be ready for that call?
And we ask that and we challenge each other because you don't know when that call is coming.
No. I mean, Jesus says it over and over, be alert, be on your guard, you know, going to come late at night, you know. The the oil and the lamps. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to be prepared, and I think it begins with the body, refreshing the body daily.
Okay, taking it one step back before we jump right into the whole body and refreshing and replenishing, our priorities. How do you answer the question if someone says, okay, and, you know, these come up in men's groups, they come up in Sunday school, and give us your list of priorities.
Right, and I think that, you know, that's what we start with, is getting focused on the priorities we should have. In other words, what are God's priorities? And it's so clear throughout all of Scripture that what God's interested in is relationships. Mm-hmm. First, relationship with Him through His Son, Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. And again, without that, no reason to go further. You know, you're going to get no traction. The rest of this is just going to be rules without relationship.
The rest of this is just going to be rules. It's just going to be something where you're going to grit your teeth and say, okay, I hear it. I'm going to try to do better.
Amen.
But rules without relationship.
Yeah. Okay. So you've got to have that relationship with the Lord first. And then, again, the very first relationship here is with your spouse. If you have a spouse, that's key, and that's number one. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, the relationship with those children that He gives you for that short time to manage. Mm-hmm.
So if you're sitting in a men's group or a women's group, or you're sitting in Sunday school and someone gets up on the blackboard and says, let's list our priorities, everybody starts off with priority number one is God, right?
That's right.
Of course, I always maintain that's really a joke because He's not the top priority in most people's lives. It's usually we're the top priority.
Sadly not.
So, all right, the number two is family, which is a spouse and then children. And then number three, everybody writes work.
Right.
All right. Now we step away from that.
That's right. And I think that the first thing after that has to be your health. Mm-hmm. You've got to be prepared for that. Again, back to the story with Jesus and His trusted three disciples that were there and just weren't ready to answer that call of the Lord.
So it's God, family, which is your spouse, and then your children. Then we put health in there before we put work. Now, God, we work. You know, you're an attorney and a successful attorney. We have recognized that if you're not guarding and replenishing that health side of it, your work is going to suffer.
That's right. If you're not pursuing, as we call, a life of integrity with balance, you know, balance and completeness, you're not going to be ready for that work.
And then after that, you can fill in whatever blank you want that's appropriate in your life, community, church work, recreation. But those top priorities. Now, here's the thing that I think we want to drive home to you listening today is there's not enough time in the day to get all these just right.
That's right.
But there is time enough in the day to get it right if you recognize that when you say yes to something, it automatically means what?
You're saying no to something else.
Tease that out for me.
Well, I think, again, you have to go back and, you know, we talk about actually having an index card to carry around in your wallet that lists those priorities again. Again, relationship with the Lord, relationship with your wife, relationship with your children. And you have that index card so that when anybody approaches you with a new idea, mm-hmm. you know, lots of good things. Mm-hmm. We remember that the good is always in competition with the best, and we're seeking God's best. Again, back to our accountability time, pushing each other forward to that, to look for what is God's best. And when they ask you these things, go back to your index card and say, look, I can't say yes to that because I've already said yes to God's priorities.
Mm-hmm. So that's the key. Stepping out and saying, because first off, recognizing the principle that saying yes to something means you're going to have to say no to something else. So take that one step further and say yes to the things that you would write down on a sheet of paper as your priorities. Because what happens is we drift slowly. It's like a slow fade away from what are our priorities, because someone comes up to us and they say, we've got a great idea. And our egos get involved, our emotions get involved, and we go, yeah, you know what? I can do that.
That's right. And you begin to drift, and as we say constantly to each other, you never drift into holiness. You drift into sin. You've got to be focused and intentional with what you're doing with your most valuable commodity, which is your time.
Which is your time. And that is what, before we get into the body and the mind and the spirit as we go through these next 3 weeks, it's this time that is so critical, because we're wasting a bunch of time out there. First off, we're wasting a bunch of time, but then, taking that one step further, we're also putting time into things that are not what God would have as our best.
Absolutely. And we challenge each other again weekly to how much time are we putting into eternal things, mm-hmm. as opposed to temporal
things. Investing our time versus spending our time. Investing your time. And here's the key question you have to ask yourself. Who are you going to cheat? Because you're going to cheat somewhere. Or maybe another word would be, where are you going to ration? Or who are you going to exclude out? And believe me, when you say yes to the busyness of this world, you're saying no to your children, your family, your God, and they know it.
Yes.
You may think that it's, this is all what I need to do. But they know that you're saying yes to something else and no to them.
And the number one enemy of this balance and completeness, this life of integrity, the number one enemy is busyness.
Business. It's a drug. It is an absolute drug, and we love the business because it makes us feel so important. The busier I am, the more important I feel. And the more I get done in a day, if I have to drink down 12 cups of coffee, the better I feel about myself. Look at me go.
That's right.
But that's our culture, but we're here today to talk about countercultural things.
That's right. And the life you're describing there that's that busy is a C-minus life.
That's a C-minus life. God wants for us the A-plus life. That is what we're about, and that's what I want you to keep in mind. Saying yes to one thing means you're going to say no to something else. Say yes to the priorities first. We'll be right back in the second part of the show. Welcome back to 721 Live. I'm Sam Hunter. I'm glad you're with us. That song, it just encapsulates what we're talking about, the slow fade. It's by Casting Crowns, and it comes from the movie Fireproof. And if you listen to those words, you just hear what God is saying to us through those words. Be careful what you see. Be careful where you go. It's a slow fade when you give yourself away. Thoughts invade, choices are made, and a price will be paid. And Irv, that's what we're talking about, is the price that's paid when you say yes to things without thinking, is this God's best?
That's right. And I think, again, it comes right back, and I'll say it over and over again during the show, is you've got to be focused and intentional with what you're doing with your time. Make sure, again, as you said, that you're investing that time in God's priorities. Otherwise, the flow of the culture is going to take you a place you don't want to go, just like the song says.
I'll throw in a quick true story. An attorney friend of ours told another attorney friend of ours, this guy's older, and he said, I determined when my children were young that I was going to work really hard and so that I would make enough money so that when they were teenagers and then college, that I would have the time to kick back with them. Mm-hmm. And then when I got to that point, they didn't want to kick back with me.
Mm-hmm. That window of opportunity had passed.
It passed. Mm-hmm. Now, partly it passes because teenagers are like that. They don't really want to hang out with their parents. But partly because he had invested in the wrong things back then.
Right. And I would challenge that. I agree with you that the natural course of things would be for the teenager to possibly pull away. But if you turn that around and you invest that time, as we were talking earlier, in terms of relationship with that child, it is amazing, and I'm so thankful for the relationship I have with my teenage children right now.
I'm glad you said that, Irv, because, I just said something that was completely cultural, and not that Irv and I are perfect fathers. What we do seek is to be the godliest men our children will ever know, that when someone asks them in youth group or whatever, who's the godliest man, that their father comes to mind first, because then that's just like Jesus says, love covers over a whole host of sins. That being that godly man for them, and you're right, you and I both have teenage children, and they do enjoy spending time with us.
So blessed.
And what a blessing that is. And it's simply because with all the mistakes we may have made along the way, did make, I'm sure, we invested the time with them.
Be focused and intentional.
So thank you for correcting me, because cultural says teenagers don't want to spend time with their parents. Countercultural, walking in God's design, says, they will.
Amen.
Okay, great. Thank you for that. Back to the one thing, we're going to move right on to the body, but like Rob Bell in one of his Numa videos says that a friend said, look, I'm drowning in the good.
That's right.
I'm drowning in the good.
Absolutely. And again, we said it earlier, we got to say it again. The good is always in competition with the best. And, being a father with seven children, every day is a battle of that, pushing back on the good to focus on God's best for what we're going to do that day.
And the battle, it usually comes down to what's feeding your ego. Mm. Because when someone comes up to you with a great idea, they want you to do this, they want you to teach Sunday school, they want you to speak at this, they want you to be on this board, that feeds your ego. And that's where our culture pats us on the back. There's not a lot of patting on the back in our culture for spending that time with your family.
That's right. Or spending that time, as we say, refreshing your body.
Refreshing your body. There's just not a lot of cultural kickback for that, but God's watching, and He wants that best. So let's move into the body with the time we have remaining. Here's our governing scripture, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 19. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit, who is in you, whom you have received from God? Now, that's familiar to us, but listen to this. This is God speaking in your heart. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. You are not your own. You were bought at a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. That's God saying to you, look, it's not your body. No more than it's your money or it's really mine, and I laid down my life for you. Honor me back with that.
With your body, by getting the rest that you need, by getting the exercise that you need, and then by, again, fueling up, not filling up, when you eat.
Okay, so it's rest, it's exercise, and it's eating.
That's right.
And as you and I talk each week, this is something we have to keep reminding ourselves of. Are you getting enough rest?
Yes. And again, as we've said before, the culture and the flow of this world and the stream will just run you over to try to knock you off of these priorities. But we put them in that set of that order, the rest first, that out of a 24-hour day, if you might envision 24 cups, mm-hmm. you're going to take 8 of those to be in some form of rest. Mm-hmm.
And let's just walk on through that just as we have those cups in front of us. Imagine 24 cups, because we've done this with the men. 24 white styrofoam cups in front of you, and let's take up 8 of them for sleep. Mm. That sounds ridiculous to most people. 8 hours, come on, are you kidding? Or 8 hours of rest.
Rest, right. And again, I know that not everybody at this point can actually sleep the full 8 hours. But what we're saying is that as much of that as you can do to sleep, but if you can't, at least have your body at rest 8 of those 24 hours, you'll be amazed at how it'll change your life.
And quite frankly, you know, even I remember reading several years ago, the Japanese are now designing their office buildings with nap rooms because they know that their employees are crisper, sharper, more, their intellectual level, they all go up.
That's
when
right.
you're resting.
Got to sharpen the axe.
Okay, so we've taken 8 cups away, 8 hours for sleep, a work day. Let's give them 9.
That's right.
9 hours. 9 cups, that gives you plenty of time to eat lunch and work all you want to work. Because we're workers. We're not talking about slacking off and saying, I'm going to sit in a closet and pray God will bless my business. You do your part.
That's right.
But don't overdo your part.
Yeah.
All right, so now we've taken 9 more cups, and we're down to
seven
cups sitting on the table. How many should we give them for driving to and from work and showering and that kind of thing?
Well, I want to take, I think we took 2 is what we were suggesting. Which leaves us 5 more to go.
Okay.
I think the next hour that I want to focus on is that hour for exercise.
Mm-hmm.
And again, I think this is one where we really got to have folks push back. If you don't have an hour out of 24 to do some sort of exercise, I would suggest to you that you're flying upside down.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess we've been flying that way so long we don't even recognize
mm-hmm.
it. Because that 1 hour of exercise will be an incredible benefit to you in all areas. As you know, as accountability partners, oftentimes if I call you up and I'm out of balance, and you can tell it, or you call me up and you're out of balance, the first advice we'll give is go exercise.
Yeah.
And amazingly, when you go and do that, the scales fall off.
They do. The stress goes down, the anxiety goes down, the energy goes up, the creativity, the proactivity. Yes, you know, and we do this with men all the time when they're, you know, a man will come to me and tell me, his job's just killing him, his family life, whatever it is that's knocking him backwards, I'll say, well, tell me about your exercise. It shocks them. But I'll say, you know, they expected me to give them some holy kind of prayer type thing. I'll say, tell me about your exercise, because that's the first step.
That's right. It's the building block. It's ground zero. You got to start there.
But what we do instead is we say, it's just like you say, we're flying upside down. We haven't said yes to exercise. So any number of things is going to come in and get in the way of that.
And it absolutely will, unless you make it a priority. And as we say in this stack here, rest is first, then exercise.
Mm-hmm. So we've got five cups left, 5 hours in the day, because we've given you 8 hours to sleep. We've given you 9 hours to work. We've given you 2 hours to drive to and from work and shower. So we've got a five pure hours that you've got to take an hour out of that for exercise.
That's right.
Take an hour out of that for the time with the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
You've still got 3 hours to That's spend right. with your family.
That's right.
Okay, so really, there are no excuses. If we will be purposeful and intentional.
Yes.
Okay. On the eating side of it, most of us eat when we're emotionally. We either eat when it's time to eat, or we eat when there's some emotional thing going on. Rarely do we eat when we're hungry,
yeah.
And rarely do we eat to fuel ourselves versus fill up.
Yeah,
ourselves.
And I love the way you always couch that. It's about fueling up, not filling up. And you really need to let that sink down and really, you know, get into your mindset that I'm going here to fuel up for the day, to make, again, seeking God's best, wanting to be prepared, wanting to be able to answer his call when he calls upon me, as he did the disciples in the garden. I want to be ready, and I'm fueling up for that. Instead of just rushing in, equating my eating with rest or equating it with relaxation, I need to equate it with fueling up to prepare myself to be God's best.
And you know what we are all the purpose of all everything we're talking about is for you to be able to find that A-plus life, that life that is truly life. And we have lived it. We have seen it in men. We've seen it in women, because our culture will run you ragged, and it will not leave you time to do these things that we are saying are so important, to find that life that is truly life.
To learn the unforced rhythms of
unforced
grace.
Matter of fact, let me read that. It's Matthew 11, 28 through 30, and you're familiar with it with the NIV version or whatever you listen to. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. This is the way the Message translates it. Come to me, get away with me. This is Jesus talking to you. Come to me, get away with me, and you'll recover your life. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Is that not beautiful?
Oh, and that's it. That's the life of integrity, a life of balance.
Learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Keep company with me and you'll learn to live freely and lightly. Is that some hippie walking through the desert with his thumbs together going, or is that real?
That's a real thing, brother.
It is what Jesus wants for us, and I want you to know you can have that. Paul writes, you know, in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, do you not know that in a race all runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize, the A-plus life that God wants for you, body, mind, and spirit. Irv, you'll come back next week, and we'll talk some more about it.
Can't wait.
Thank you so much for listening. This is 721 Live. God bless you. God's peace to you. We hope to see you.